It's one of those Sundays where I have multiple duties going on, so as long as I'm able to catch my breath, but it's awesome. Obviously, with the holiday seasons, as you can see, there's a lot of things going on, but I just want to encourage you to try to be a part of these things. This is going to be a wonderful experience for us to serve God and also to be able to be a community as well. There's another announcement that hasn't been posted yet, but keep watch for the amazing news of our first time we're going to have a New Year's Eve party. When I mean party, I mean real party, not one of those fake ones. Okay, real party. All right, so keep in mind for that. All right, before we begin, let us open up in a word of prayer. Jesus, we sang the words, Lord, that you are worthy. You're worthy of it all, God. And God, we confess sometimes it is a hard time for us to declare that, because our life may not reflect that. But Lord, we know that you're a God that loves us. And God, we know that there's no better place to be than to be in your love. And so, God, would you remind us of this morning, that we are to be in your love and that we are children. Once again, Lord, we just welcome your presence to be among us. We know, Lord, that when you're present, things change. We change. And so, Lord, we just want to welcome your presence and that you open up our hearts, our ears, Lord, to hear from you. God, I pray for myself, may I not simply be a speaker of word, but a doer. Because you know, Lord, it's so easy just to talk about something and not do it. But God, you know my desire, Lord, is to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the last decade or so, there has been a phenomenon in actually the fashion industry. And this industry has all of a sudden increased in its profit margins. I don't know if any of you ever heard of this thing called athleisure wear. You know what I'm talking about, right? It first started probably with, you know, maybe yoga pants. It was a fad that everybody was just wearing. And even if you didn't do yoga, you wore yoga pants everywhere you went. And then it began to sprout in other industries and other areas. I remember when I was younger and I played a little basketball, and I've always wanted these Air Jordans. I mean, you know, somehow when you used to watch those commercials, if you didn't know who Michael Jordan is, there are, you know, other players like LeBron, Kobe, and then there's Michael Jordan. Right? There's just no debate. Right? You know, Michael Jordan is his own category. So I grew up watching Michael Jordan, and I've always wanted his sneakers. Right? And because somehow when you wore Air Jordans, you felt like you could jump higher. Right? There's just something magical about wearing Air Jordans, and you feel like you could jump higher. And so I finally bought a pair of Air Jordans, and I put it in, and they weren't that comfortable. And so I started to play, and I thought I was going to jump up, and I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to be higher. And I realized it barely got off the ground. But somehow, those sneakers, it made me feel good. It made me feel like I was the real deal. And I think there's something about athleisure wear as well and why it has also gained in its popularity. Because by wearing athleisure wear, it makes us feel like we're exercising or working out. It feels comfortable, but somehow, psychologically, it makes us feel like, yeah, I'm going to the gym, although I'm lying on my couch. Yes, I'm working out, or I'm just, you know, eating my ice cream and watching my TV. But somehow it just gives us that sense like we're doing it. And I think sometimes life is a lot like that as well. It's a lot like we have this mentality that we like the idea of having the benefits without actually having the responsibility. Right, it's like when we wear the athleisure wear, we want to feel like, okay, I feel good. But without the responsibility of actually working out, eating right. And I think a lot of times life also is like that. I think when you think about marriage, there's a reason why a lot of us sometimes don't want to get married, because we like the benefits of marriage without the responsibility of marriage. Right? And that's why sometimes we don't want to get married. It's like sometimes, you know, we call phrases like friends with benefits. Right? We like the idea of being friends with benefits, but we don't like the responsibility of being in a committed relationship. And somehow we like all these ideas about these things, because somehow we like all the benefits without the responsibility. And I think sometimes as Christians, it's a very common thought that we like as well. We like the benefits of being a Christian without the responsibility. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. We like the benefit of salvation. We like the benefit of going to heaven without the responsibility. Because somewhere along the lines, we as Christians, we make a distinction between someone who believes and someone who follows. We make a distinction between somebody who is a believer and someone who is a disciple. We think that believing is okay, but believing in God is like having the benefits without the responsibility. And I think that's one of the common mistakes as we as Christians make without realizing that when we enter into a relationship with God, it is a commitment. And when there is a commitment, it also requires certain responsibilities. Just as when you enter into a relationship with someone, it is a commitment. And that commitment requires responsibility, right? It requires communication. It requires sometimes cleaning the bathroom if you get married, you know, doing the dishes, doing the laundry. It requires some commitment and some responsibility there, right? And we like this idea of benefits without responsibility. But to be a follower of Jesus, it isn't about believing. Because the Bible tells us this. The Bible says, even the demons and the devils believe in God, and they shudder. Right? So, you know, the devil believes in God. The devil just doesn't obey God. Right? And so for us, it's not about believing, but it is understanding what does it mean to be a follower. And what does that responsibility look like? I'd like to take a look at Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. And through this, I want to be able to share with you, what does it look like for us to be a believer? What is the responsibility that we believers need to have? What is the shift that needs to take place in our life? Romans chapter 16, verse 25 through 27 reads, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel and the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long age ago, now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings of the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles may come to obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen." Before we jump into the text, I just kind of want to set up the context for you. Romans chapter 16 the book of Romans is probably one of the most powerful letters that the Apostle Paul wrote because it does something amazing. He unpacks the gospel of Jesus Christ. What John wrote in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish." We all know that verse. The Apostle Paul takes 12 chapters to simply explain that one phrase. And he explains this from not only a natural realm, but also from the spiritual realm of what God does. He tells us that this is that we were once dead in our sins, and this is the cause when we're dead in our sins. Guess what? That basically means eternal separation and condemnation from God. And this is how God worked to redeem us. He sent his one and only son by being what? By being a sacrifice for us. And so whoever believes in him, therefore, shall have no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And then he unpacks this, and then in chapter 12, he begins to talk about how does this apply into our life. And then in chapter 16, verse 5 to 27, this is commonly referred to a section of what is called the doxology. Right? And the doxology really comes from two Latin words, dox and ology. Dox means glory, and ology really is the word, you know, a form of the word logos, which means word. And so in this doxology, it is praising God with words. In this section here, as he praises God, he reminds us this thing. He tells us this, that, you know, this is who God is. He has established this gospel that I am proclaiming to you that was once hidden, now is made revealed. God is good, and now he's revealed himself to us. And the Apostle Paul tells us this is then our responsibility. And the key word there, he says, obedience to the coming of faith. This word obedience in the Greek, it comes from two words. It means under and listen. It's a compound word of the word under and listen. And so let me give you the picture of this word obedience. Is that when we obey, It's often to someone who is above us, right? And so the Apostle Paul tells us obedience means that we are under the authority of God. We are under the presence of God. And as God sits upon the throne, then we need to be listening to him. And so this word obedience gives us this picture of someone who's paying attention to what God is saying and what God is doing and then responding. Now, most of us, if I were to ask the question, if I asked you, do you believe that God speaks? What do you think? Does God speak? Right? Most of us, yeah, God speaks. Then the question now, a follow-up is, have you heard God spoken to you? And when he speaks to you, how does that sound like? Does it sound like this nice, long, deep voice, like, run? Is it a whisper or is it a shout? What does God tell you? What does God reveal to you? Because if we want to be a follower of Jesus, then there needs to be a shift that needs to take place, a changing of our understanding that it's not about, quote, unquote, being a church attender, right? In his book, there's a book called Not a Fan by David Pratt. And he says that the churches today has moved away from the sanctuary to the stadium. And what that basically means is that modern day churches where God is no longer really the main audience and people aren't really following God, what we're really doing is we're going on Sundays for a show, right? I don't know if you've been to larger churches. I've been to larger churches and I've been to modern churches. And as a former church planter, I could tell you that's what people are trying to build. They're trying to build a large church where there is a nice, large worship team, really good, you know, I'm talking about excellent musicians. Some of them have degrees in music and very skilled musicians and everything. And they got great singers and the music is great. And then you got the light show going on. I mean, I know some churches, they have a smoke machine. Right? I mean, that's amazing. I could imagine myself a smoke machine coming out. You know, I've always imagined one day that'll come up from underneath and the lift. All the lights are dim and I come up and I start to preach. I mean, that's an amazing show, wouldn't it be? Everybody think that's awesome. But that's what the modern day church is beginning to be, where it's this all this effort on this dramatic show on Sunday without reminding people that we are followers of Jesus, that we're not spectators. Then as follower of Jesus, then we have a responsibility. And the Apostle Paul tells us this responsibility is actually quite simple. It's simply to pay attention and to respond to what God is doing. To follow God actually is not that hard. Because most of us, when we think about following God, we think about all this rules and regulations and do's and do nots. Like, we think that Christianity is so square, that it's so inhibited and it's so restrictive. But it's not what you think it is. To obey God is to pay attention to what God is saying. Now, God has already spoken a great deal in Scripture. And we need to keep in mind what God has already said. And we need to respond. God also speaks to us individually. And we need to pay attention. And I think the challenge for most of us is we really have a hard time paying attention. You know, they say ignorance is bliss, right? It really is. To be ignorant of something is to be like, I don't know. Right? I'm sure it'll be a great day to come before the Lord and the Lord asks us, so what you did with your life? Oh, no. It's a tough question to answer, isn't it? Ignorance is bliss because we feel then we don't have any responsibility. It's like my kids. when my oldest was older, was younger, and I think she was about 3 at that time, and I don't know where she picked it up, but she kept on using this phrase, what did you say? I don't know if it's a phasing, but she used to say, what do you say? I would say, Kara, can you turn off the TV? Huh, what did you say? Kara, get ready, get changed. Huh, what did you say? If I told Kara, it's time to go to sleep. Huh, what did you say? It was very annoying. It just choked the life out of her. But sometimes I think when we're not paying attention to God, That's what we're really saying. Huh? What did you say? Because God speaks. And not only does God speak, I think we need to pay attention. And to obey God, I think one of the most important aspects of obeying God first is to pay attention. To pay attention to God who loves us, who has been on this radical pursuit of us. Even before the day that we were born, God has been pursuing us. And, you know, yes, we run away. Yes, we turn away. And yes, we mess up. But to obey God, it starts with paying attention. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how well are we at paying attention? I know, I just want to say, I'm sorry for those of you who are younger. There's a lot of distractions, isn't it? It's hard to pay attention because you have all this social media stuff going on and your attention span becomes shorter and shorter. It's like my kids when they have electronic devices on them. I repeat myself like 4 or 5 times and they still can't hear me. Right? It's hard. And we have a lot of distractions. But I think one of the most important aspects about our faith and following God is learning how to pay attention. I think that's one of the most important steps of obeying God, is to pay attention. To pay attention what God is doing in your life. To pay attention what God is, what is happening around your life. Because I believe that God speaks to us every single day. And every single day he's reminding us of what it means to follow him. Right? He's reminding us of by the people that we encounter. He's reminding us by the things that we go through. Right? I don't believe that life is by chance. I don't think it happens by circumstances. I believe that everything that happens in our life, that God is a part of that. And sometimes God allows difficulties and hardships to arise so that we can actually pay attention to him. That we can actually begin to shift our eyes away from the ignorance and to pay attention. Sometimes it's through a conversation we may have with a friend. Sometimes it may be through a conversation. Sometimes it may be just your parents being annoying, inviting you to church constantly. Right? I know that could be quite anointing. Or sometimes it's your friends also trying to invite you to church or something. You have all these things, and maybe, just maybe, that's God speaking to you. Because God is asking you to pay attention. And when God asks us to pay attention, God wants to speak to us. God wants to tell us something. God wants to reveal a part of himself. Right? Being a Christian, it's not about rules, but it's about a relationship. And any relationship that you're in, if you don't pay attention, you're no longer going to be in that relationship anymore. Right? Guarantee you. I don't know who you think you are, but just letting you know, that's the truth. Truth hurts. Right? Any type of relationship you're in, if you don't pay attention to each other, the relationship's going to fail. And so one of the most important aspects of us being a follower of Jesus is to pay attention. To pay attention to what the Word of God is saying. To pay attention to what God is saying to us individually. What God is saying to us through people. Through our circumstances. Through things in life. Because God is speaking. And here's the next part. Because it's not enough to pay attention. I mean, imagine being in a relationship and your wife says, you know, can you please take out the garbage? I hear you. I hear you, dear. Can you please take out? I hear you, dear. I'm paying very much attention to you. I heard you so many times. You don't take out that garbage. You sleeping on the couch or outside the house, right? Just saying, it's not enough to pay attention, but we have to respond. It's not enough just to hear God speak. What are we going to do with it? We have to respond. That's obedience. It's to pay attention and to respond. Because unless you and I do that, we can't say that we're a follower of Christ. Now, I know that as Christians, we like to make that distinction between a believer and a follower. Like, the believers are someone who believes in God, and the followers are the serious Christians. They're the ones that take everything serious about God. I have bad news for you. Whoever told you that is a lie. Lie to you. There's no difference. If you believe, you're in a relationship with God. And if you are in a relationship with God, then it will require for us to pay attention and to respond. Pay attention and to respond. Like this week, what has God been saying to you? How has God been prompting you to pay attention? It's very easy for us to miss it, right? If you're not paying attention for something, you're just going to miss it, right? I don't know if you guys are like me, but sometimes I think I'm absent-minded when I drive. When I drive, I go on autopilot, right? You know, Tesla doesn't have one on me because I go on autopilot when I drive. And what I mean by that is, if I know where I'm going and I don't need to put on my GPS, I just drive and I'm almost robotic. I stay on the same side of the lane every time until I'm about to exit. Then I exit. You know, everything's robotic. So this way, my mind's just like, you know, I'm thinking. It's just almost robotic. Right? And I don't pay attention to anything. I'm not really focused. And then all of a sudden, when I'm actually paying attention to something, then I begin to notice things. I begin, oh my goodness, I never saw that sign before. Why is it there? Or what's that there? I don't know. Likewise, when you go on a walk, there are two types of walkers, right? There are those who walk because they got to get to places, right? That's New Yorkers. Right? New Yorkers, we pretend like we have some place to go even though we don't. Right? We keep on walking, and we walk with there's vigor in our steps, with purpose, determination, even though we're going home and going nowhere to go. Right? There's purpose, and New Yorkers just walk, and they don't pay attention, you know. They don't notice anything. But when you go, like, on a hike, and you're walking on a hike, you don't walk like, I'm going to get out of here right away. No, you're not. You're going to begin to look, oh my goodness, that looks so good. Oh wow, look at the scene. Oh my goodness, look at those flowers. Look, you notice everything because you pay attention. But when you don't pay attention, you don't notice anything. And maybe it's time for us to start paying attention. To pay attention to what God is saying. What is God saying to you? What is God doing in your life? What is God doing around you? And then respond. And then respond. And you know when you do that? We start obeying God. First, it starts off very simple. And then next thing you know, God takes you to, you know, some amazing things and some amazing places. People don't know this about me, but when I was a young Christian, I didn't accept Christ until I was about 21. You know, I don't have time for my backstory, but I was a pretty messed up kid. Right? And all of a sudden, when I accepted Christ, you know, I just wanted to know God. And so people asked me to help serve in the church. And at that time, our church, which was in New York in Chinatown, they were starting like an after-school program, tutoring program. And they asked me to help. And I looked at them, listen, I just got my GED. You want me to tutor kids? I miss so much school. I don't even know how to add very well, okay? You sure you want me to do it? I said, yeah, we need the help. And I said, okay. And I started helping. And it was just a bunch of junior high school, middle schoolers. And then what did I do? I just sat there, helped them do their homework. And meanwhile, I'm going, you know, I don't even remember doing this. But yet, it was God inviting me to pay attention, to help out. And I paid attention, and I responded. And then God began, from there, God began to show me little things. And then next thing you know, God called me into ministry. Don't get scared now. Just because you pay attention to God, God's not going to call you to be a pastor or missionary. Okay, it's all good. All right, don't be afraid now. All right, just trust me. I ain't going to do that. All right, I know some of you are afraid. All right, but trust me. Just because you pay attention to God doesn't mean that you're going to end up being a pastor or missionary. No. When you pay attention to God and respond, you're just going to be honoring that relationship that you have with God. Because relationships are precious. And we want to honor that. Right? And so when I began to pay attention to God and I began to respond to God, I also learned to grow through those things. It wasn't something magical. It wasn't that I read a lot of the Bible. It was just I started learning to pay attention to God. And obviously the Bible gave me a lot of understanding what God was saying. But God was also speaking to me. And I learned to say yes. And over my years, I would say I've learned to take some crazy leaps of faith. Because all those little building blocks I've learned to pay attention and just to simply respond. Right? For those of you who don't know, I'm a New Yorker. Right? I lived in New York for 41 years, and I grew up in pretty rough neighborhoods. So, I am a New Yorker. This is California. I'm in the wrong place. But God called my family here. We paid attention to what God was doing. And we moved here. Right? A family, my wife, and our three young children. We moved here. We sold our house. We moved here. Because we were paying attention to God. And we responded. Now, don't get me wrong. There was all those building blocks of the early stages of my walk with God. To pay attention to Him. And to respond. And as I learned to do that, I learned to grow. I learned to trust in Him more. My faith in Him began to grow deeper. These are the little building blocks that we often miss. And so the simple question I'd like to ask of you this morning, what has God been saying to you? God's doing something. Because I don't believe in a God that is absent. That somehow just, you know, I created the world and you guys are on your own. What has God been doing this week, this month, this year? What is it that you need to begin to pay attention? What is it that you need to begin to respond? Now, for some of us, it may be simply as praying. Some of us say, well, I haven't done that in a while. It's okay. It's all good. That doesn't mean that God won't answer you or hear you. For some of us, it may mean another step. Maybe God showed you something about this church. And He says, I want you to be a part of that. And maybe that's your act of obedience. For some of us, it may be that God's been knocking on your door and you've been just kind of like, God, just stay away from me. But God's been knocking on your door. Maybe it's time you kind of just open that door. To open that door and to see what God has to say to you. Right? I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God is at work in everyone's life. We're just not paying attention. And I think one of the most basic principles of being a Christian is this. We learn to pay attention to God. And we respond. That's it. That's it. I just gave you the $1 million answer. Right? You guys can pay me later. But I just gave you the $1 million answer to being a Christian. Pay attention to God. And just simply respond to Him. One moment at a time. One encounter at a time. That's it. That is what the Lord is asking of us. And that is what it means to follow God. Pay attention and to respond. I know the word obedience sounds very scary. But that's what it means to pay attention and to respond. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you in first, Lord, acknowledging that we haven't always done a good job in paying attention. And Lord, for this we ask for your forgiveness. But Lord, we do believe that you're always asking us for our attention. And so Lord, this week, as we go forward with this week, would you open up our eyes, would you open up our ears so that we can see what you're doing, that we can pay attention to what you're doing, so that we can hear what you're doing, and just simply to respond. Would you guide us, Lord, and lead us this week? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.